Jared mentioned a few weeks ago that this series, The Church of God's Care, this is the last series that Simon planned for us. And he called it The Church of God's Care to remind us that we are God's church and under his care. So far we've seen that the church is described with in many different metaphors. There's the flock, the temple, the body, the bride. And today we look at the church as the family of God. I wonder what you think of when I say the church is the... Well, when the Bible says the church is God's family. I wonder how you respond. Maybe you're a little skeptical. Maybe you've got a dysfunctional family, and maybe another dysfunctional family is not quite what you need, and your experience of church so far has been quite awkward and a little uncomfortable. Maybe you've been here for a little while now and you're thinking, how is this meant to be my family when every time I come, I sit in a pew and I meet somebody different and I'm getting to know 300 people, 400 people every week? Doesn't quite feel like family. Maybe instead of being skeptical, it's something that actually excites you. Maybe the thought of having a close family through this next season is actually something that would be a wonderful thing. Maybe you're in a third category and you're familiar with what it's like to have a close church family. And the church has actually been there for you in many difficult situations. And it's been a great blessing. And you know deeply how helpful this doctrine, this teaching can be. Or maybe you can play a wonderful part in welcoming somebody else into our church family this year. But whether you're skeptical, whether you're interested, or whether you're familiar with this teaching, it's my prayer that we as a family, because that is what we are, that we would come to experience this in a deeper sense this year. I remember when I was young, I felt quite discontent with my church. I didn't have friends my own age. I was frustrated with the leadership of the church, and I felt like I wasn't growing in my faith. Around that time, I went to a conference with the Christian group at my university, and we looked at the topic of church. We spent 5 days looking at the topic of church. And it was at this conference that my attitude towards the church changed. I began to see that the church is really a family. It's not an organization with a great vision and a whole bunch of KPIs that we need to achieve. Our primary identity in the New Testament is as brothers and sisters. We are the family of God. And after I came back from that conference, I noticed my attitude towards my church changed. I saw the people that I was serving as my little brothers and sisters, and their parents as my aunties and uncles. And I didn't care so much about the leadership and the vision of the church. What was important was the relationships and how we served each other. And as I realized this, I began to grow in my faith. Well, it's just to say that understanding and seeing the church as a family is a wonderful blessing that God gives us in the gospel. Let me ask for the Lord's help as we come to his word now this morning. Now, Father, we thank you for your great wisdom and love in gathering us together into a spiritual family. Now, Father, we ask that you would help us to understand, to appreciate, and to be involved in this wonderful work that you are doing amongst us. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. We're looking at the church as God's family. We're in 1 John chapter 3. And very quickly, the purpose of 1 John is to reassure those who have been unsettled in their faith. You could imagine how unsettling it would be if Jared or Mike or I started twisting parts of the gospel, and then we left the staff of St. Thomas's and continued in that direction. That would be very unsettling. Well, this is the sort of people that John is writing to. He's writing to reassure them that they are God's family. My aim for today is just to look at the first three verses in 1 John 3. Even though we read out the first 10, we'll just look at the first three verses. There's plenty in there about being God's family. And we're going to look at under three headings. I thought, being the last sermon that Simon prepared, we couldn't deviate from a timeless tradition. Three headings: the privilege of being in God's family, the reality of being in God's family, and the tension of being in God's family. The privilege, the reality, and the tension. Let's begin with the privilege. Chapter 3, verse 1. How great is the love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called the children of God. Or if you've got an ESV there, it says, see what kind of love the Father has given us. And John wants us to grasp two things about the love of God. The first thing that he wants us to get is its utter uniqueness. It's unparalleled. There is nothing like the love of God. It's in a category all of its own. It's a little easier to see in the ESV when it's translated, see what kind of love. This word kind, it originally meant from what country. And it was used to describe how someone, when they experienced something foreign, they would go, what country is this from? When Jesus calmed the storm, his disciples asked, what kind of man is this? They knew they were in the presence of someone absolutely unique, and they needed a new category, as it were, to put him in. And that's exactly how we feel when we begin to grasp the love of God. It's in a category all of its own. It's absolutely unique. There is no love like it. That's because it's divine love. Every form of love that we experience is human love, but this is divine love. And you know if you've experienced it, because it will not leave you unchanged. It will absolutely change everything. Martin Luther had one of the most dramatic conversions in history. And after wrestling with what it meant to be justified by faith for many months, it finally clicked that he was justified not by what he does, but by the grace that God has shown him. And he writes, I felt myself to be reborn and to have gone through open doors into paradise in that moment. It was as if heaven opened up and he could walk in. Even if your conversion hasn't been as dramatic as Martin Luther's, I'm sure you can attest to a growing desire, a growing change in your desire to serve the Lord Jesus. So the first thing is its utter uniqueness. The second thing John wants us to grasp is the effect of the love of God. Just as human love produces human children, so the love of God produces spiritual children. Its effect is to produce children of God. It's very easy to think that just because we come to church, just because we hang around Christians, that we get this. But there are some here who perhaps haven't got this. Let me ask you a question. Is there something that you love more than Christ? Is there something that you love more than Christ? Is there something that if God took it away from you tonight, then that would be enough to walk away from it all? If there is, it's possible that you haven't quite understood what it means to be a Christian, that you haven't quite grasped the love of God. Becoming a Christian starts with repenting of the things that you love more than Christ and asking for the love of God to change you, asking for that deep sense of gratitude that he has done all that is needed to remove what has separated you from God. And as you grasp the enormity of what he has done through Christ, as Luther said, you'll see heaven opened and you'll come into that father and child relationship with your Creator. All this is because of what Christ has done for us. in dying for our sin and being raised to life, we now walk in his footsteps with him as the older brother. This is the love of God. It takes all the initiative to make rebels children who belong in his family. John wants us to grasp this, and he wants us to spend time reflecting on it. Our NIVs don't have this word at the beginning of verse 1, but at the beginning of verse 1 is this little word. If you're familiar with the old authorized version, behold what manner of love the Father has given us. Behold, or in the ESV it says, see what kind of love. That word, behold or see, that's an imperative. And it's an instruction to think, to meditate, to dwell on it. Something that I realized about my own devotional life at the end of last year was I've been getting through a lot of Bible, and it's been great. But I need to spend time thinking more deeply about the cross and all that Christ has done for us. Well, one person who has thought deeply, or who did think deeply about the love of God, was Charles Wesley. And he penned these words, which we're going to sing in our final hymn. Love divine, all loves excelling, joy of heaven to earth come down. Fix in us thy humble dwelling, and all thy faithful mercies crown. Jesus, thou art all compassion, pure, unbounded love thou art. Visit us with thy salvation. Enter every trembling heart. Do you know this divine love for yourself? This love which excels all others, has it entered and calmed your trembling heart? What a great way to begin 2020. And if you do know this love, is it your goal this year to meditate on it, to spend more time reflecting and processing what Christ has done for you on the cross? Why not make a little note? Make it one of your goals, as well as getting fit or getting out more, spending more time with the family. Why not make reflecting on the love of God a deep and personal goal? Well, as we reflect and grasp the love of God, we begin to appreciate the great privilege it is to be part of God's family. This is ours, that we are in Christ, we are the children of God, that we should be called the children of God. So point one, the privilege of being the children of God is that we know his love. We know his love, and being in the family, we call him Father. Secondly, the reality of being in God's family. The reality of the reality is in the second half of verse 1. The second thing John wants us to note is the reality. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know him. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know him. The reality of being in God's family is that even though it's a great privilege to be in God's family, it's not recognized by the world. And just as Jesus was rejected by the world, so the world will also reject those who follow Christ. If you've become a Christian recently or later in life, this may be a painful reality that you're working through, or you might even be still processing. Perhaps there's been alienation. Perhaps there's been a new tension that's arisen. Perhaps there's been a sense of distrust and skepticism. Perhaps there's that sense that you're always being watched just to catch you when you slip up. Well, if that's the reality, then the church is your family is a wonderful gift that God has given us. This is a safe place where, as brothers and sisters, we spur each other on. There is grace, there is forgiveness in our fellowship and in our relationships. And if you haven't had to wrestle with this with yourself, there might be someone in your discipleship group who is wrestling with it, even now, even in your pew, who is wrestling with what it means to need a family. Perhaps you can be the friend or the family member that they need. As you meet in your discipleship groups this year, can I encourage you to share deeply, to share openly, and be vulnerable with each other? It only takes one person to open up and say, actually, this is what I'm really dealing with. This is the thing that's keeping me up at night. And everybody else will start, will feel free to open up. Why not decide to make your discipleship group like your family? To prioritize turning up to it. To prioritize sharing deeply. To call each other. Not just pray during the discipleship group time, but to follow up with each other during the week. And of course, if you're not in a little discipleship group, if you don't feel like you're part of this church family, one of the best things you can do is to join a group. I'd love to get you connected, because that is how we experience a sense of family as we journey together in this life. You might find that being a part of this discipleship group is exactly what you need to get you through this season. So being part of God's family is a wonderful privilege as we experience God's love. It's also a costly reality as we recognize that the world distances itself from those who follow Jesus. The final thing is the tension of being in God's family. I'm not referring to the relational tension, even though that does happen. But the tension here is that even though we are the children of God now, in verse 2, even though we are the children of God now, we aren't quite yet what we were made to be. It's a real joy going to see my brother-in-law and sister raise their son. But even at 5, even though Gideon is their son, he isn't quite like his father in terms of his nature and character. And that's the tension that John's talking about. We are God's children now, even though we still wrestle with our sin, even though it threatens to redefine who we are, even though it confuses us and stresses us, we are God's children, and we are looking forward to that day when we will purify ourselves in Christ. It's a tension that every Christian wrestles with. Whether you're new to following Christ, and perhaps if you are new, your sins and your struggles might be a little bit more obvious. Bringing your life under a Christian sexual ethic can take a long time. Dealing with alcohol and anger can take a while. Or whether there's the more subtle sins of lying and cheating and slandering. If you're new, you'll be aware of this. If you've been walking with Christ for a few years now, you'll understand that there are seasons where new sins just creep up. New access to technology, changes in family stages, new opportunities open up a wonderful array of sins, of opportunity to sin. Or maybe it's just that persistent struggle with that one sin that lingers, that thorn in the flesh that just will not die decade after decade. John is writing to reassure us, beloved, we are God's children now. We are God's children. And what we will be has not yet appeared. Whether you're new and still working it out, whether you've been in the family for several decades now, we all have some progress as we look to Christ. Well, in our struggle, we keep looking to Christ. As we begin the Christian life, we begin by turning from our sin and looking to Christ. As we continue in the Christian life, we look to Christ for forgiveness. And as we finish the Christian life, what do? We look to the one who purifies us as he himself is pure. Wouldn't 2020 be a wonderful year if instead of going through this year with pleasantries and small talk, we could be open and honest, not with everyone, but with a few. Last year, I pulled aside a friend and I said, I'm struggling with this. I need help to get through it. And by God's grace, last year I made a lot of progress, and I would encourage you to do the same. Work at putting sin to death. Purify yourself as he himself is pure. If you're skeptical, our prayer is that this would be a church that you need. If you're interested, we want to get you connected, and we will work hard at getting you connected. And if you're familiar with what it means to be in God's family, then maybe you can play a crucial role in serving and connecting others this year. Well, that's it. The privilege, the reality, and the tension of being in God's family. On Wednesday night, we're going to consider a biblical theology of what it means to be God's children. But let's pray together. Now, Father, we thank you for your great and all-consuming love. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for sending your Son at great cost to yourself so that we could be called the children of God. Father, we ask that you would sustain us, that you would help us to be sure of these things, that you will return, and that we will purify ourselves when we see you face to face. Father, help us to be the church, the family that you want here in St. Thomas's, and help us to welcome and challenge and be the church that you need in this place. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.